Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. One of the most colorful history professors you'll ever meet also has a legacy in Northeast Louisiana and around the world. Dr. H.P. Jones has been teaching here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe for the last 46 years. He's well known for outdoor poetry readings, breaking out into song during class, and even sometimes staging his own death during finals. Dr. Jones, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
For someone with as long a history at ULM as you have, I'd like to start out by asking you about some of the changes that you've seen over the course of the years you've been here.
Well, there's been many changes, both buildings and the nature of the students and the whole way the thing functions, because American General has changed, and change is the name of the game. And I tell you, concerning over the long haul, like, I've been here through three names for the college, five presidents, four deans, 10 department heads, 9 head football coaches. The list goes on, because I've been here longer than anybody else. And so I'm still hanging in.
Well, some of the changes that you've talked about, the campus obviously is dramatically different because you first came here in 1965.
Right.
Tell us, what was the campus like then?
Well, it was more like, as Dr. Cofer once said, the school at the end of the road. And he wanted to improve that. When you talk about buildings, I've listed some of the many buildings that have been built since I've been here. It's unbelievable. Just quickly, the administration building, Hannah Hall, nursing building, the aviation building, building construction building, Strauss, Malone Stadium, the Coliseum, the baseball stadium. It goes on and on. And, of course, the library.
So what are some of the things that you've seen, dramatic things that you've seen change in the way the university works? Because you've seen the university through several different names and also through radical changes in the way the organizations run.
Well, let's start with tuition. When I came here, the cost of a semester was $67. Take as many hours as you want. Also, to drop a class, you had to go see the dean. And boy, he wouldn't let you out, hardly. So that's a change. You could get a 3-course meal at Gunby Hall, which is now the Student Success Center, for $2. And that included drink and a dessert and everything. Concerning the students, when I arrived, the blue jean look had not yet hit, and students were more dressed up, and teachers were expected to dress up, you know, a lot more than we do now. The faculty was more cohesive. We had a faculty club. They'd give a couple of parties each year. And one interesting twist, every year the new faculty members would line up in what is today the sub, and the townspeople would come in and meet them. Oh, another thing, when I came here, we all had Saturday classes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, had Saturday classes. No one questioned it until we finally realized we don't need this. But that's the way things were done then. There's been lots of changes. Oh, and by the way, when I arrived, if I'm not mistaken, there were only two black students here. I taught them both, Joe Prophet and Leonard Wilson. They were football players, and they were good, too.
Say Joe Prophet now in several different halls of fame.
Yep. He went on to play in the pros. I think he was a first-round draft choice for the Atlanta Falcons.
You served in the Marine Corps during the Korean War. In fact, you were awarded 2 Purple Hearts. By the time you came to teach on this campus in 1965 at Northeast Louisiana State College, the Vietnam War was already well underway. How did that affect campus life?
ROTC was required then. All boys had to take ROTC unless they had some valid way to get out. That was, you know, part of the system. And later on, when the school decided, let's make it voluntary, they let the teachers vote what they thought. And in concerning liberal arts, I was the only guy that voted to keep it in because I kind of have a military bent. And I must say this, back then, boys did not want to go to Vietnam. Many of them didn't. And they would come in and moan about their grade, and they'd say, if I fail this class, I'll go to Vietnam and I'll get killed and it's your fault.
As far as they were concerned, the stakes were higher.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let me see. Oh,
But in any number of things, just the nature of how the campus worked, even the administration of the campus. You know, you had students who lined up registration being done by hand.
Yeah, everything. Technology hadn't hit yet. Registration was done manually. The kids would line up, and they'd talk with you, and you'd have to sign them up. Then they'd take their card off somewhere. Another change, there was no Xeroxing or copying. You had to use old purple Ditto machines, which was a pain, but would work. You do what you can with what you've got.
You also have kind of a reputation among students as being somewhat of a colorful history teacher.
Well, if that is true, I think it's because I like to say I sprung from the people. I'm one of them. I started off as a high school teacher and a coach. The woods are full of those. Well, I coached in the high schools and taught. I've taught grades 4 through 12. This is where I come from. And boy, you talk about attention deficit and hyperactive. You're looking at him. That's me. So I try to appeal to the students because I know what they're like. And I'll do anything to jive up history. Because history itself is interesting. We teachers kill it. So you got to reach down and try and come up with something. Follow your vibes, your intuition, that how can I make this lesson interesting? Sometimes I'll break into song, sing some song that having to do with it. Or I'm a reasonably good artist. I like to draw on the board. I'll use cartoons. I like to draw maps and doodle on them. In other words, you try to make it interesting for the students. And that's what I do. You never know where you'll come up with a new twist. I built a coffin, and usually I go in the coffin twice a year, in Halloween and go Wild Day in the spring. And in order to be pallbearers, only good students and girls that mourn. And I usually try to arrange it when it's test time so my graduate assistant can say, there can be no test, Dr. Jones is dead. Then I'll emerge from the coffin and give him the test. That's one thing I'll do. You've got to make it interesting, whatever your vibes tell you to do. Einstein says imagination is more important than knowledge. So use your imagination. Picture yourself sitting out there having to listen to you. How can you appeal to this person who really doesn't want to be there in the first place? So that's kind of my thrust, for better or worse.
And I think that's I think that's wonderful. Well, your master's degree comes from the Appalachian State Teachers College. Your thesis there still bears some fruit with a particular decoration in your office.
Oh,
would
yeah.
You tell us about that.
I'm from North Carolina. Got my master's from Appalachian, and while I was there, I taught my assistantship. I taught world history in the high school and coached basketball. But anyway, I've used to love to hunt, and I'd always heard of wild Russian boar in North Carolina. Well, there I was at Appalachian, right in the midst of the Smoky Mountains, and I had to write a thesis on something, so I figured these wild Russian boar, they've got a history. Somebody bought them and brought them up here, and somebody built a pen to put them in. So I decided that was to be my thesis, and that's what it was. And if I might add, it was a popular thesis, and I had a pamphlet published from it, and it's been sent as far as Alaska, people that are interested in wild boar. And I came upon this awful old boar's head at kind of a carport sale, and so I bought it and put it in my office just for decoration.
One of the colorful things that I think people remember from seeing you on campus is the poetry reading that you'll have again coming up.
Yes, I love poetry. I love poetry. In fact, I've written a bunch of poems, and I'm going to compile them when I get around to it and see if I can't publish them in a book. I'm going to call it Offbeat Poems by an Ex-Marine. Now, you might not find anybody to publish them, but you won't know if you don't try. I like poetry, and we read poetry under the tree every March. I encourage the students to write, and we go through it, and will this year.
One of the things I think I've heard from students of yours who've said that you enjoy telling a good story, that it's a storytelling that gets people engaged.
Yeah, I think you can teach history. You might make a few mistakes or flaws, but teach the big picture, the sweep, and by the use of stories, embellish it in your own style, anything to make those kids wake up and maybe enjoy it even. I might add this, just for the heck of it. I taught a year in England. I coached in England, and I saved my money, and I hitchhiked from England completely around the world just to get the flavor of the world. I lived a year and a half on the road from England back to America. I traveled enjoying the world, trying to learn.
So what was the route that you took? You went from England to where?
Well, back to America. I went on through, ye gods, France, Switzerland, Italy, Turkey. No, before getting into Turkey, I went to Yugoslavia, Greece, then Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, back to Syria, Persia, Pakistan, India, Ceylon, back to India, across to Malaya, up to Thailand, back down to Singapore, then up to Vietnam, Hong Kong, Japan, then back to Hong Kong, down to Australia. From Australia, I'm coming across the Pacific. I hit the New Caledonian Islands, New Hebrides, Tahiti, Marquesas Islands, went through the Panama Canal, and flew to Florida, and hitchhiked home.
You do that as a hitchhiker?
Yeah, well, or vagabond, hitchhike. Every now and then I'd maybe buy a bus ticket, but basically I just walked or caught rides, just whatever came along.
As much as you enjoyed teaching history now, what did you pick up on that trip?
That was one reason I went on this trip. I knew I wanted to be a teacher. I was already a high school teacher. I didn't know whether I'd ever get into the college ranks. But when I was coming up, I thought to be a college teacher would be the greatest job in the world, although I wasn't sure I could ever make it because I was just a coach. I tried to go that route, and I got this job here. And that's probably one reason why I'm still teaching after 46 years. I could have retired 8 years ago at full pay, but I like it. And one reason I went on this trip, it gives you a feel for these places. Not that you know everything about it, but I roamed in India for 4 months, so from top to bottom. So when we hit India, it gives you a feel like I've been there and I can relate. That's part of it. You can relate to these places. If a kid will get in there, it makes you feel like you're a citizen of the world. You learn from the time the earth spun off the sun, and it kind of carries you right on down the line, and you feel a part of this globe in which we live. And the human race that we deal with. I, you know, dealt with all people on this trip. Muslims, you name it, all are Buddhists, Hindus, and basically people are the same. I don't care what they are, what color they are. If you treat them nice, they're nice. And I'll tell you something else I learned. I learned how bread is the staff of life. As long as you got a loaf of bread, you won't go hungry. And everybody in the world has bread.
So how do you apply those lessons to what you're trying to convey to a student today?
Well, one thing I try to convey to them is this world is bigger than Monroe and Ouachita Parish. Now, all of you are not going to be able to travel and see things, but if you can, boogie out of here. Go see something. Go to London. Take part in this crazy world. If you can give you a base and get them fired up, a lot of kids will do it. I know, because they come back to tell me.
Well, Dr. Perry Jones, thank you so much for sharing some of your time and your experiences with us.
Well, thank you very much. I hope I didn't screw up.
Dr. Perry Jones is a professor of history here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe, where he's been teaching for now over 46 years. Comments or questions about the ULM Forum can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or send them to the ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209. Podcasts of the ULM Forum are available online at kedm.org in the listening room.